And I do it the other way later on. I go, oh, okay, that's how you do it. Big pain in the butt, though.
You have to, like, use the Windows version of it. Because the manufacturer's brand don't work with it. It's dumb, yeah.
Okay, questions about the second Visual Basic assignment, but before I ask them, on the fifth one, I think it was, I said that I wanted you to turn it into a loop, and I said I want you to use an input box and message boxes. The thing is that if you have a loop and it's asking for input, there is no way you're going to be able to type in the text boxes on the form fast enough to keep up with the computer that is working on a nanosecond basis, which is not the basis that humans work on, okay? So, you cannot do it. You can't type on the text boxes on the form. But what you can do is if you want to have a loop that takes in data, you can use the input box. Because the input box, which works exactly like the prompt in JavaScript, brings everything to a stop, puts up the box, lets you enter the information, waits until you hit OK, then it continues the loop. So the message box stops things and allows you to make the data entry. But if you tried to use the text boxes on the form, it ain't going to work, okay? Because you're not fast enough. It's going to finish the loop before you get the first character typed, okay? So it's just not going to work. But a message box stops things, and an input box stops things. So an input box stops things to take in information, and a message box stops things to display information. So when you start putting it in a loop, you should be moving over to using an input box and a message box, okay? Because you can't do a loop and have data coming in and data being displayed fast enough. Okay? And I've gotten a few questions about that, so I wanted to clarify that. Okay, let me tell you about the rest of your life. At least the rest of your life, which includes the next 3 weeks. My goal is to finish up next week, and I think we're going to be okay for it. But that's my goal, is to finish up next week. So therefore, the last week of classes becomes an open lab. Okay, so you can come and work on homework and all of that kind of stuff. Now, if we get into problems, I might not make it, but I think, as far as I can see, I'm going to make it. Okay, so therefore, the last week of classes is an open lab. Now, I give you your final 1 week before it is due, before the posted final, and I can't remember whether you're a Tuesday or a Thursday final. I looked at the schedule, but I don't remember. If you are a Tuesday final, I will give you the final the previous Tuesday, so that's during the last week of classes. If you're Thursday, I'll give you the final on the Thursday. Now, by give it to you, I mean I will post it online. It is an online final. Okay, because half of the people in this class you've never seen and or saw a couple of times, but they're basically taking it online. So if it's not fair, basically, to have some students be able to take it online and the rest of you have to come into class, that just doesn't seem fair, because it's a lot better to be able to take a final online and work on it over a period of time. So, your final will be posted. You have 1 week to do it. It is due prior to the start of the posted final. So, if the final is posted to start at 10:30, it has to be in by 10:30. And I'm serious about that. I start subtracting points if it doesn't come in. Okay? And the final's only worth 10%, so you've lost it pretty soon. But essentially, get it in. You've got it for a week. Get it in the day before. you know, send it to me the day before. Keep the sent email. So in case it doesn't get through, you can send me the thing that has the timestamp on it so that I know that you sent it. Okay, so keep the sent email. If you don't keep sent emails, send yourself a copy. And keep that copy so that if I say I didn't receive your final, you will be able to send it to me and send me the one that has the verified timestamp on it. Okay, so that that tells me that it got in on time. Okay, because if technology kept it from getting to me, that's one thing. If you kept it from getting to me, that's another thing. Okay, so then the final comes in and then I correct and post grades. So that's what we are looking at for the next 3 weeks. Okay? So, I have finished talking about Visual Basic. If you have questions on any of these homeworks, you can ask me now or you can ask me at the beginning of class next Tuesday or Thursday as well. And if I forget to ask, tell me. So, questions? Going? Gone. Okay. So, what we're going to do is look at our last serious topic, and then there's kind of a later topic that comes up if we get there, is looking at what happens if you have multiple tables in a database. Okay, so I'm looking at having multiple tables in my database. There is something called a relational database. And the relational database has a series of rules about it that are called normalization. And we're going to look at those rules. Relational databases are used. Access makes relational databases. Oracle makes relational databases. All of the major databases are relational databases. Now, there is starting to be some movement in the field, and big data is starting to also be used as opposed to relational, although there's a lot of similarities. But essentially, companies like Amazon and Google just had too much information, and they needed, and also think about what you do, for example, if you go to Amazon's, you put stuff in a cart that they've got to maintain, but you're not necessarily going to buy that cart, so they've got to be able to have that cart come and go and everything, and keep the cart and then keep the things that you're buying and all that. And I happen to, when in Amazon, I use the cart the way I save a lot of stuff that I think I might want to buy, and so I just say hold till later, and I use that as my backup, and they've got to be able to handle that too. So big data is something that was developed by companies that have humongous amounts of data. And it's being used by places like Amazon and Google. Now, whether it comes down to be used by your ordinary company, not so much yet. But eventually, it may be used by large companies. Small companies will, I think, probably continue to use relational databases for a good long time. But international companies and big companies may turn to big data. So, right now we're looking at a relational database. And if you click on what I said is normalization, third normal form, there are a series of rules that go with it. The first rule says a relationship is in first normal form if it does not contain repeating groups. Okay, so that comes to, let's say, you're a student here, and you sign up for courses. So I would have a student table, and that student table has your name and your address and all of those kinds of things on it. So I have a student table. And I would put your student ID on, and that would be the primary key. And remember from Access, a primary key is something that uniquely identifies a record. So your primary key is going to be your student ID number. Okay? And then I put a bunch of other things on here, like your name and your address and all of that good stuff. Now I want to keep track of what courses you've taken. Well, the problem is, if I put what courses you've taken on there, how many slots do I reserve? Do I say no student will ever take more than 35 courses? So I will set up slots for 35 courses. Well, as soon as I make that decision, somebody's going to sign up for their 36th course. Okay? And I'm going to have to tell them, sorry, I can't deal with that. That happened to me. I'm not as a student, but I was making an order. And I wanted to order something like 7 things. And so I started doing this over the phone at the time. This was a while back. And I got to finish the 5th, and the person said, thank you for your order. And I said, but I've got 2 more things I want to order. And she said, I'm sorry, I can't take them. And I said, but I want them. And so she very reluctantly said, all right, and started a new record. So she asked me my name again. She gave me a new ID number. She asked me my name. I gave her my name. I gave her my address. I gave her everything else. And so essentially she'd made a second order for me. And that included the last 2 things. So the deal was that her order only allowed 5 things. There were 5 repeating groups where I could enter in, where she could enter in the item number and the quantity that I wanted. But there were only 5 of those. So when she'd filled those 5 slots, she couldn't take my 6th and 7th item. Well, that's no way to run a business. Okay? You want to be able to take my 6th and my 7th item. So that's the problem with repeating groups. So what I do with repeating groups is instead of saying since I can't put them on there, I'll have repeating groups, I set up something like STU courses. So this is a second table. These are my tables. Okay, so these are my second tables. And I will set up here, and I will put the student ID in. And I will put the course number in, and I can then enroll you in a course. Now, I also have, let's look at this. I can't have the student ID as my primary key there, because if you are going to take 5 different courses, I'm going to have 5 different records on this file for you. So, let's say my student course file is going to have on it a student ID of 111. Let's say that's your ID. I don't have a lot of students. And then I have a course number of 120. And then I'm going to have the grade that you got on it. Okay, now I have a problem. What's going to be my ID? Well, the student ID number can be combined with the course number because I can have multiple fields make up the primary key. A primary key doesn't have to just be one field. So I can have the student ID and the course number make up the key. But then I have another problem. What if somebody flunks the course? Okay, if the primary key is just the student ID and the course number, I can't have 111 and 120 again, if those are my primary key, because then I'd be duplicating my primary key. So the solution to that is to have another field called semester year, and make all of those together the primary key. So that I have the student ID, the course number, and then I can have the semester year combination. and that can be my primary key. So if the person, and we'll give them a grade. If the person gets an F, then they can retake this in the spring of 15 and get a different grade. But notice the primary key has something different in it. The three fields together make up the primary key, but those, I still have uniqueness because I have these three making up the primary key. And F14 is different than S15, and so I have uniqueness. And so the next time they took it, they got a B. So I now have their courses. Then student 111 can also take 121 in the fall of 14, and they got a C in that. And I can put all the courses that the person takes in that. So if you take 30 courses while you're here at BCC, there will be 30 records inside STU courses with your ID on them. Okay? So every course that you take will generate a record in STU courses. Does that make sense? If it doesn't make sense, tell me it doesn't make sense. Okay. So this means that this particular thing is in first normal form because it doesn't retain, it doesn't have any repeating groups. Okay, so getting rid of repeating groups put me into first normal form. Okay, so now I look at a relationship is in second normal form. If it's in first normal form and no non-key attribute is dependent on only a portion of the primary key. Okay. So, over here in STU courses, I have grade. Grade is dependent on STU ID and course number and semester year. It's dependent on all three parts of the primary key. It is for a particular student taking a particular course at a particular semester year. So it's depending on all three parts. If I were to come over here and say course number, I'm going to put in course name. Course name wouldn't work because course name is dependent only on what? Okay. Is course name dependent on student ID? Is it dependent on course number? Yeah. CIS 120 has a particular name. CIS 121 has a particular name. CIS 122 has a particular name. So the name is dependent on only the course number. It doesn't change every semester year. It's only on the course number. So that depends on the course number. So it's illegal. So I can't have it. I can't have it there. So I got to take that out. Because I can't have anything on that table that isn't dependent on all of the parts of the key. And course name has nothing to do with who the student is. Course name has nothing to do with what semester the student took it. It only has to do with what course number it is. Would somebody look like that makes sense? Yeah? Does it? Seriously?
It seems to make sense.
Okay. Anybody else?
I think it makes sense.
Okay. So basically, I have to think carefully before I add data to this field, to this table, rather, and say that any data I put in here has to be about the student, about the course, and about the semester year. It has to be about all three, because I've got three parts of my key. So it has to be about all three. Now, over here is a little easier, because student ID is my primary key, and so anything about the student can go on there. Okay, so that one's a little bit easier. If I want to keep the course name, what I will do is set up a course table. And I will put the course number on here, and I will make that the primary key. And I can then put the course name on this as well. Now, when I have multiple tables, what I have is the ability to link between tables. So I can look at this table and see the course number and say, okay, I want to know the course name. Okay, I will link in over here and find the matching course number and grab the course name. I will find the matching course number and grab the course name. So I have links between my tables. That's one link. I have another link of STU ID'd over here is another link. I have links between my tables that let me get information from multiple tables. Okay, I can get information from multiple tables. Okay. Now, we're just doing a overview of this so that you kind of have a clue what is involved. There are whole courses on this. There are multiple semester courses on this. So designing a database is something reasonably complex, reasonably sophisticated, and we're just kind of looking at the basic idea so that you have an idea of what goes behind making up a database of multiple tables. But I'm not looking for you to turn into a designer based on an hour or two of talking about it. Okay? So, if I wanted to keep the course name, I have to say, where can I keep it? Well, I can't keep the course name on the student table because the course name has nothing to do with the student. I can't keep it on the student course table because it has nothing to do with the student or the semester year. So, therefore, guess I gotta make another table. So I make another table, and this has course number, course name. I can put things on here like credits so that I know how many credits there are for that course. Is it a one credit, three credit, four credit course? Anything about the course I can put there. Okay? But that only has information about the course. So now I'm in second normal form. A relationship is in third normal form if it is in second normal form, and it only determinants it contains are candidate keys. Okay, this is not necessarily written in English. Okay, first of all, a candidate key is something like your social security number. Many years ago, the college used social security number for the student ID. Your student ID was your social security number. Okay? The truth is, that's illegal. Not sure it was illegal back then, but it's definitely illegal now. You can't use social security number as the key for students. But if I wanted to keep the student ID, the social security number, I can keep it on here, and what it becomes is a candidate key. Social Security number is a candidate key. Because it uniquely identifies you, right? Your Social Security number uniquely identifies you. So that makes it a candidate key. Now, the fact that it's illegal to use it as a student ID is what keeps us from using it. okay? But it is a candidate key. So Social Security number is a candidate key. So now let's say I decide to keep my, I want to keep what major the student is in. So I'm going to put in here, let's go to a different color. I'm going to put in here major. Okay. So I'm going to put the code for major. So if you're a CI major, it's going to have a CI. If you're a business major, it's going to have a BU. Okay? So it's going to have the major code in there. Now I want to put on the major name. Well, I can't do that because the major is about the student. But the name of the major isn't about the student. The name of the major is about the major. If I decide to change CI to say computer systems instead of computer information, but I still keep the CI, I have not done anything to affect you. It's just a change in the major's name. Okay? So I can't put a major name on here because a major name... supposed to be an R. A major name is dependent on the major. It's dependent on the major. It is not dependent on the student. So I can't have that there. So I have to make another table. And I will call this the major table. And I will have the major. I probably should have called that major code. So I'm going to come back over here and change that to major CD for major code. And that would become the primary key. And then I can put the major name on here. And the major code can link over here when it wants to find out what the major name is. So it can link in and find it. Okay? So, I couldn't carry the major name because the major name was dependent on the major code, not the student ID. So, whenever I see that happening, I got to make another table. Okay? So, this setup here now meets the standards of third normal form because I have... no repeating groups. I have everything dependent on the entire key, and I have nothing dependent on anything other than the primary key. No non-key attribute is dependent on only a portion of the primary key, and where is it? Only determinants are candidate keys. Major code would have become a determinant if I put major name on the STU table. But since I didn't put major name on the STU table, I don't have anything other than the ID as a determinant. Okay. So those are the rules that somebody goes through. And a complex system may have 100 tables. It may have 25 tables, 50 tables. It's going to have a lot of tables, and they all have to be very carefully interrelated so that I can get all the data I need at any point, okay, by doing linking between the different tables. So, when you design a database, usually it is done in committee, as opposed to being done individually, because essentially it's complex enough now, you need a bunch of people talking about it and trying to figure it out. And usually the team is made up of technical people and business people. Okay, so the business people are there to say what they need and what the system has got to be able to provide them. And the technical people are there to determine how they're going to meet the company's needs, how they're going to set up the data so that the business people can get what they need from it. And I'm using business very loosely. Anything is really a business if there's any money floating in. So basically, the database has to be very carefully defined and very carefully developed. And a meeting of business people and technical people is usually going to cause the best results. A discussion of business people about what they need and how they're going to use it. And a discussion by technical people of, no, it can't be done this way, it has to be done this way. Okay, we can meet your needs, but it has to be done this way. And sometimes the discussion gets to be storing that is going to cost a lot of money. Because it's going to cost a lot of money to develop it, maintain it, and all the rest. How important is this to you? So the discussion frequently is making something extraordinarily complex really worth it if you're only going to access it occasionally? Okay, so all those discussions have to take place. So a relational database is set up, and as I said, it's in third normal form. Okay? And the primary key has to be developed as well. Okay, questions? Okay, what I'm going to look at next is putting a... Yeah, right. Closing glare. Okay, so I came up with, this is a similar example. I think I probably did it a little bit differently. Let's see how different I did. Okay, this is information, and it looks pretty much the same. I called it a department in this as opposed to a major. But other than that, it's pretty much the same, and I just listed the data that I needed. Okay, so now I'm going to go in and do a database and look at the database that I developed. So there's the student database. So if you click on the student database and bring it up in Access, okay, we can look at what we have here. Okay, so over at the side, you can see the student, the department, which I called major when we were just doing it, the student courses, and the courses. So on this one, I called it major. I forgot that I called it department. Okay, so you're in the CI department and you're in the CI major, so you can really refer to it as either. Okay, so what I've got here is if I look at the student table, okay, that's what I've got. I've got the student ID, I've got the student name, and I did city, state instead of address, so I've got the city and the state. I've got the department code, which is, I said, the major code. And I also have on here the GPA. Because, again, I can have anything about the student, so GPA would be a good thing to have. Think about when you go in and look at, when you get a transcript, the kinds of things that are at the top of the transcript are your name, your address, your GPA, your major, all of those things. Lots of those things come from the student table. Okay? So I have the student table, and notice that the student ID is the primary key. Okay? So, then the next table that we talked about was the student course table. So I'm going to look at that. So there's the student course table. And the student course table has a student ID, a course number, a semester year, and a grade, which is what I wrote up on the board. Notice that the key is next to all three of those. Next to the student ID, the course ID, and the semester year. What you do is you highlight all three. And then you can hit the primary key once all three are highlighted. And it makes all three a combined primary key. Okay? So I just, when I put this data on, I highlight all three of those. And then I hit the key up there. Okay? And then it becomes the primary key for all of them. Okay? So, questions? Okay. The next table is the course table. And that has, as I said, the course number, the course name, and the number of credits. Okay? And the last one I have up there is the department table, which again I call the major table. And it's got the department code, the department name, and the chairperson of the department. I added in just to give me another field. So that's the information about the major or the department. Okay? So those are my four fields that are my four tables that I set up. Okay. Now I'm going to close my four tables down. No, I don't want to save changes because I think I hadn't. I better make sure that I didn't mess that up. Nope, it's saved. Okay, so now what I want to do is I want to do some queries. So, if you have it open, we're going to create a query design. Okay, so go and click on Create and click on Query Design. This is a review of Access from back in January and February. Now, when we did it in January, February, we only had one table. Now we have multiple tables. And so I have all four tables to choose between. So let's say I want to have the student table. And so I said add that. And I just want to know the name of the department for now. So I'll say add that. So I then close. And I have those two tables there. Now notice that I have a line that's linking them together. My department code here is linked into my department code over there. If for some reason you're not getting that link, then you can create it. If you take and click on department code on this table, the student table, and just drag it over and drop it on department code over there, it will create the link for you. So if for some reason that link isn't obviously there, you can create the link by just dragging the department code from the first table over to the department code on the second table, and that creates the link. Okay? So now that I've got the two tables linking, I can start looking at what I want. And I want student ID. And notice it says the table, and I want student name. And I'm going to put department code in from both tables just so I can show you. Okay? So I brought down the student ID, the student name, and the department code from the student table. And I brought down the department code and the department name from the department table. Notice it shows me what field and what department. And if you want to bring down some others, that's fine. I just brought down student ID, student name, and department code from the student table. And then I brought down department code and department name from the department table. Okay? So I've got information from both tables showing up here. Now, if I run this, there's my output. Notice that student, let me make this a little bigger so you can see it. Notice that the department codes are exactly the same. That's what that line that Linktum does. It says, this student is a CI major. Link over to the CI on the department code table and then grab the name. So that line made the link. That line linked the two tables together. And so, in fact, when I am showing this, I didn't really need to put the student department code, department code, because it's really redundant. They're going to be the same. I did it so I could prove to you that it was redundant, okay? That I could prove to you that I am getting the same thing in both of those, because that line that links them is the critical line that says we're going to get everything. Yeah.
I need to John Hancock. This student is haunting me. With that new chair of college-wide, it's the haunt.
Is this where I'm supposed to sign?
Yeah, where it says department chair.
That involved reading.
I was going to sign it for you, but I figured that might not go over very well. I'm going to walk it over to her.
Okay.
Thank you, ma'am.
Sorry to interrupt.
Okay, so, any questions on that? Okay. So now I can go back and I can look at the view. And let's say that I only want to see students that are CI majors. I can still put in the criteria here. So under department code, and I can pick either one of them. I probably should have put it under the other one. It makes a little more sense if I think about it, that I want only students that are in the CI department. So I'll put it under that. It would work under either one. It doesn't matter. So I'm going to put it under that. So I've now said I only want students that are CI majors. So then I go back out and view it. And now I've only got the students that are CI majors. So if you remember back to how you did access a couple months ago, this is the change that you can make if you have multiple tables. So this serves two purposes. It reviews access and it adds something. Okay, questions? Okay, now I want you to make a query that involves the student table, the student course table, and the course table, so that I can get out the student ID, information about the student, information about the course, and I want the name of the course. So go ahead and make a query that will bring up all three tables. Let me see the courses the students are taking and the name of the courses that they're taking.
I think you should write that one down. A lot there.
Student, and I want their let's say I want their ID number, which I think I call student ID, but anyway. add their name. And then I want from the student course table, I want to see, oh, let's do the ID number again so you can see again that it matches. And the course number and the semester year. And then from the course table, I want the course number and I want the course name. And these are not the names that are going to be in the database. I don't remember the names. Just find the appropriate name. But that's what I'm looking to get. You know, so you're going to create a query and you're going to put three tables on it and then you're going to pull these fields down. And that is all there is to it at this point.
If anyone has any issues, just let us know. Number, course name, and semester year, just in case you wonder.
If you want to save the one I already did, that if you did with me, yes, save it. And I saved it as Stu Department was the name that I gave it. You can see it saved over here. And interestingly enough, the default here is it's saving it under both tables that it's involved with, so it kind of shows it twice. This one's going to show three times. Which you may find annoying or not.
What are we... After all that on there, would a certain thing go?
Not yet.
Okay. So all we're doing is this part right now.
Right.
Okay.
You're bringing up three tables and showing 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 7 fields. Okay, so I'm going to have three tables and 7 fields. If you have any questions, Pat is getting restless.
So you're just going to make the table now? Neither.
No, okay, you've got a problem. Let me go back and see. Because it shouldn't be that many.
Oh.
You don't have the lines linking.
No.
If you end up getting a list that goes out of the site off the bottom of the screen, it's because you don't have the tables linking. And if you don't have the tables linking, it does this nasty thing. It gives you every possible combination. Okay? Half of them wrong, more than half of them wrong. It gives you every possible combination. So it is critical that you get the links there. Okay, so I'm going to say, wait, stay tuned. Create query design. Okay, so I've got three tables here. So I want the student table, the student course table, and the course table. I didn't use the department table. Okay, Sandy, I'm getting to it, so let me just go ahead, okay? And then I said close. Now, in these came up, it didn't come up with the link. So what I've got to do is make the link. And what I do when I make the link is I drag the student ID over to the student ID. And now it's got the line. And then I drag the course number over to the course number. And now it's got the line. And that's linking. Okay? If I didn't have those links, I'm going to see every possible combination. So if I take and delete the links for now, okay, so I'm back the way it was, I'm going to bring this stuff down, and then I'll show you what happens if you don't have the links.
I got it working.
Okay, but I want to show the rest of the world anyway. Student ID, student name. Come on. And then I'm doing student ID again, but as I said, I don't have to do that. Course number, semester year. And then I'm doing course number again, but again, I don't have to do it. And course name. Now, if I run this without the links, notice what I get. Every possible combination. It gives me every possible combination. So if you see that, then you know you did something wrong. Okay? And what you did wrong is you didn't make the links. So I'm going to go back to view. And I'm going to link student ID to student ID and link course number to course number. Now when I run it, that's what I see. Okay? So now when I run it, I get the links pulling it together and I get the right thing. So I can see that student 1-1 took two courses and I can see the names of those courses. Student 3-3-3-3 took three courses and I can see all of those. So it's now linked correctly. Okay, so now let's go back and say I want to see people that took, okay, so I'm going to come back here and I'm going to say I want to see people that took CIS 121 and they took it in fall 09. Okay, so I put in CIS 121 and I put in fall 09. Okay, so now if I click on view, those are the only two records that met that criteria. Course number CIS 121, semester year. Fall 09. And those are the only two records that met those criteria. Okay. So I can have all of my criteria listed, and I can use the ands and the ors and all the rest of it that I used the last time. Okay, so if I come back here again, remember I told you that you didn't need course number twice? If I take that little click out, and I didn't need student ID twice, if I take that little click out, then it hides it. Okay, I didn't even have to bring them down. But once I brought them down, the easiest way to not see them a second time is to hide them. And so now I'm only seeing the student ID once, and I'm only seeing the course number once, because I clicked on that show, and the show went away, so I'm not showing them. I clicked so that they wouldn't show. Okay. So I'm going to save that, and I'm going to call it three tables. So I just called that three tables. So now I want to show four different tables. Okay, so I'm going to create a query, and I want to show four different tables. So I'm going to bring up all four tables. And it doesn't matter what order you bring them up in. I'm just bringing them up kind of this way. But it doesn't matter what order you bring them in. Now, for some reason, it decided that there was a link between department code and department code, but it decided not to show you any other links.
Because it's
not nice. So, right, could be. So, I can make those links. Student ID goes to student ID. There's my link. And then course number goes to course number. There's my link. So I've linked the tables together. Student ID to student ID and course number to course number.
This looks like some sort of parasite.
It may indeed be. Okay, and if I want to pull this down, well, I'm not going to really. I could take that and put it down there. You like that better? Okay. So I can position them around wherever I want. But the important thing is I link student ID, I link department code. I'm sorry, yes, department code, and I link course number. Now, one of the things that I do when I'm doing this is I give them exactly the same name so I don't drive myself crazy. So I called it student ID here. I call it student ID on the second table. I call it department code. I call it department code. I call it course number. I call it course number. So I give it exactly the same name. I also need to be very careful to give the link, the fields I'm linking. The fields I link need the same type. And size. So when I make course ID on one table, I shouldn't call it a short text. And then make course number on an or student ID on another table and call it an integer. Pick one and give it the same on both. Because I have said before, computers don't do well comparing different types. Computers do well comparing integers to integers and short text to short text. Okay? So you want to make the fields I link need the same type and the same size. And we'll go back and look at that in a minute and see that I did that. Okay, but they need to have the same type and the same size. Okay, so now I'm going to bring the fields down that I want. And I want, let's say, student ID, student name, course number, semester year, grade, course name, and department name. And you can put those in any order that you like, but I brought down, basically what I wanted to do was bring down things from different tables. So you can see I've got two things from the student table, three things from the student course table, one thing from the course table and one thing from the department table. So I brought something down from all of those tables. And if I then run this, that's what you see. Okay.
Wait.
I didn't see the last thing for department. Was it department code name?
I put department name. I took department code from the student table and department name from the department table.
Okay.
Okay? So that's what I end up with. Actually, I don't think I did bring down department code. It still works because it knows what the link is. So it still worked just fine. But if I also want to have department code in there, I can bring department code down now because I didn't bring it down.
Well, you clearly just told me department name.
Okay. Well, now I've added department code. So stay with the program here. Okay? So now I've added department code. So now what I want to do is I want to get CI majors okay I want to get CI majors or departments, so I want department of CI and either let's see, CIS 120 or let me see what else I've got there, or a B. Undergrade. Okay, so I want CI and either the student's records that are for CIS 120 or ones that have a B in the grade field. Okay? For no particularly good reason. But that's what I want. Okay, so try putting that in.
Remember back to your early access days here?
That's right. This is a review of access.
Yep.
So CI has to be true. CI has to be true.
This stuff will be on the files.
And either of two others. So CI has to be true. And either of the two others. Okay, so now I'm going to go and make this particular one. Actually, I think I'll just go back and change what I've already got rather than bringing it down. So, I want department code to be CI, so what do I write? Okay, do I write CI again? Okay, so I've got CI there. Now what do I put in?
CIS 120.
Okay, I can put CIS 120 under course number over here. On the OR you want to put it? I was going to put it up here. Although on the OR would work all right, but since I listed it first, I'm going to put it first. Okay, then what else do I need? What about that B? That should be the grade. What line should that be on? What line should it be on?
The
OR. Now, this could have been vice versa. I could have put the B up on the criteria line and CIS 120 on the OR line. But what have I got there now? Does CI have to be true?
Yes.
CI.
CI doesn't have to be true. What I've got right now is that it's got to be CIS 120 and a CI major, or just a B in the course. Or just a B in the course.
Just a heads up. If you have a table open and it's in design view and you try running this query, it's going to say it's already opened or some weird thing. So what I would suggest, if you're not able to actually go to view and open it up, go to each table that you have up here on the tab and check to see if it's in design view. If it is, make it into data sheet view and it should run.
Well, I change all of the, I close all my tables.
Yeah, or it's better to do that.
That's
but if you
the
do
best
have it opened.
Close all your tables.
Yeah.
Before you start doing a query, which is true in Access pretty much.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, if you need them open, keep it on design. It's a data sheet view, but yeah, close it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So where else do I have to put the CI?
The ore line.
On the ore line. Because if CI has to be true, it's got to be on both the criteria and the ore line. Because it has to be true. Okay? Again, we are reviewing. CI has to be true. So I said CI and either of the others.
What's
up? So CI has to be on both lines. Okay, and so then I do a view, and they're all CI majors, and they either have taken 121 or they have a 120 rather, or they have a B. Okay, so all of them are CI majors, and then over here we have 120 and 120, got those, and B got those. So they all have to be CIS majors in either of the other things. Now, if I didn't put CI on both lines, and I go back and I take it out of that second line and run this, notice that I picked up a BU major that had a B. Okay? I picked this one up, the BU major that had a B, because CI was not on the OR line. And since it wasn't there, the B, anybody had a B, was just fine. Okay? The CI had to be on the OR line because it had to be true. And I absolutely guarantee you or your money back that you are going to have an Access question on the final. So, this is review. Questions?
Yeah, I have a question. Why isn't my one? I'm only getting two fields.
I don't know.
Show
Pat, can you see why? Oh,
you have like. Well, five of them,
yeah.
I run it,
there's
only two. And I have them in the same place.
Okay.
Oh, so what else do you have to find on, like, sort of visual basic? Is there anything from, like, the textbook?
There's a little bit from the textbook. There's a little bit. Basically, there's a little bit from pretty much every topic.
Do you mind hitting the view?
Huh?
Do you mind hitting the view?
You got rid of one of them, on the CI there.
Right.
Oh.
But I'll put the CI back now and hit the view.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
It was because she got rid of the CI.
Okay, so, but don't forget, you have a week to take the final. Okay? And the final is 10% of your grade. Okay, as opposed to what I care more about, obviously, is the homework, and that's 80% of your grade. Okay, so I care more about homework than anything. If you haven't passed in homework, I don't even have to look at your final, because you can't pass it. 80% of your grade is homework. So if I haven't got homework from you, my life's real easy. Okay? So that's an important thing. Okay, so I'm going to close this, and I'm going to save it, and I'm going to call this 4 tables. Okay. Now, I mentioned that it's important to have the IDs the same. So there's my student table. And notice the student ID is short text. And it's 5 characters. So now I'm going to go to the student course table. And notice that the student ID is short text. And it's 5 characters. Okay, and that is the important thing. Now, student ID could have been made an integer, because if you're just going to have numbers in your ID, it could have been an integer. And that would have been fine, but I had to make them both an integer, not just one of them an integer. And if I go to the department table, the design view, department code is short text of 2, and if I go to the student, it department code is short text of 2 as well. So I have to make the things that are the linking the same type and the same size to guarantee the best results. Okay? All righty. What I was going to talk about next is just mention the assignment that I put out. The donor database. Okay. I have done the design for you. So, basically, I don't want you having to do designs. We didn't do enough, so I've done the design. The donor table has donor ID is the name of the field, and it's the PK. It's the primary key. PK does not mean make that part of the ID. The ID should not have embedded spaces. I would just make it donor ID. Then on the donation table, there are donor ID, drive number, and date of the donation, and amount. And the primary key is the 3 fields together. And amount applies to all 3. Amount is about that donor giving to a particular drive on a particular date. And for the date, if you want to just make it the year, that's fine. I don't care whether you put in a whole date field or not, or if you just make it a year. And on the drive table, I have a drive number, a drive name, and a drive goal. So I want you to create those 3 tables in Access. Again, good review of Access. And then I have got a series of queries that I want you to do. Okay? So the date can be just a year, if you want to make it that way, and assume that people only are going to give to you once a year. It's up to you. But rather than worrying about the date, if you want to just make it a year for this, that would be fine. So I want you to set up the tables. And again, the last week of classes is going to be an open lab, so if you're having problems, you can put this off and do it that week. Go ahead and do it. We will probably have a little time someday next week to do this. I want to talk a little bit more about databases, but then we probably will have a little time to do it. So that's your assignment. And I'm done.
I just want to bring up one more thing with that either or situation, just to kind of review it.